Okay, now the question is, next slide, what does Peter's restoration teach us about the church? All right, would you go to the next slide? First part, Christianity is about redemption, forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. And this is, I want to read the whole bullet here that Canon Pearson wrote about this. Peter was restored. And then he uses Christianity is about redemption, forgiveness, reconciliation, and restoration. It is through restoration and healing that we are empowered to do those things God has called us to do, both individually and corporately. That's interesting. Both individually and corporately. Second, Christianity involves God's tender care of us, including but not limited to inner healing of our past hurts. In other words, in this example with Peter, Peter was ministered to by the Lord and brought through inner healing. I'm going to just ask a question that's not in this. Have any of you been through inner healing, actually ministry of inner healing? Okay. I have too, back in 1980. And with Muriel and Marcia, two ladies who had that ministry, very powerful. And I could have never gotten anywhere without that, just period. I could have never gotten anywhere without it. I mean, I had to be healed of my feelings about my father. That was a key. And even though I didn't know I had those deep feelings about him, I didn't. But boy, once they started to minister about that, boy, it all came out. And I would have never gone anywhere without that. Or if I had, I would have never grown in Christ without that. I'll put it, that's a better way to put it. I'm sorry. I would have never grown in Christ. Or if I had, it would have taken a long time. Okay? Inner healing is tremendous in everyone's life. I think everyone should go through inner healing. All right, the next slide. Or this actually is the discussion questions at the end here. Now, here we go back to triggers. There's a section in here, in this chapter, chapter 9, about triggers. This question is, how can triggers be sacramental? I first looked at that question and went, what? So I started by going back to the basics. What's a sacrament? Okay, what's a sacrament? Right? It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual reality. Or in other words, a visible form of an invisible grace. That's what a sacrament is. And by the way, the visible form of an invisible grace is the definition that St. Augustine gave to it. Okay. So following along, sacraments are a means by which Christians partake of the mysteries of Christ. That was another definition I found actually in the Oxford Encyclopedia of Christianity. And so what are we doing? Bringing us back to grace and mercy that we received. Have you ever experience something? So what I'm saying is, have you ever experienced something just in church maybe or in everyday life, and you see something and all of a sudden it brings you back to, wow, I have received mercy. I have received the grace of Jesus Christ in that aspect. Somebody you see who's doing something that they shouldn't be doing, for instance, and it just clicks with you, wow, I used to do that, but God's healed me of that. You know, that's the inward grace that takes place in us. So does that make sense to you in light of that question? Pardon? Go ahead. Sure. Yeah, that's a great one. Seeing a crucifix. can be a trigger to the grace and mercy we have received through the sacraments or just as a sacrament. Excellent. Right, and here's another really good question. Consider the differences between forgiveness and reconciliation. What are the differences between forgiveness and reconciliation? Okay, so I've heard you can be reconciled and not forgiven, or you can be forgiven and not reconciled. Okay, again, I this is the way I operate. Bring it down to the basics. What are we talking about when we talk about forgiveness? And so again, what did I do? I looked it up. Let's look at some words that mean the same thing, and it might help us. What is forgiveness? A pardon, absolution, exoneration, acquittal, mercy, all of those are involved in forgiveness, right? All right, what's reconciliation? Get or bring back together, reunite, restore harmony between. Now, what would be the difference here? What comes after forgiveness? Restoration comes after forgiveness? Father Scott? Okay, good. You're passive in receiving forgiveness, being reconciled.
There's nothing you can do to receive forgiveness. But to be reconciled, you have to be at least happy.
Okay, good. I like that. Anybody else got a thought on that? Right. Restores a relationship between the parties that weren't reconciled, that had a problem. Yeah. Go ahead. What'd you do? Just get my brain? Let me throw another word out there. What about timing? Timing. Did it come back? Go ahead. That doesn't mean there's forgiveness, you mean? Is that what you're saying? Good. Okay, good, good. Let me just bring up the thought of timing. What do I mean by that? In forgiveness, it should be, at least, once it's done, should be. Now, does that always happen perfectly? No. But once it's done, it's done. But not so with reconciliation, is it? Reconciliation often takes effort and time to accomplish, doesn't it? Rebuilding trust and so forth. So there is a question of how these things occur time-wise. Good thoughts. I like that. I like that. Said so. Yeah. That's always a problem with, you know, some people say they forgive and they really haven't. But, you know, we can't do anything about that. That's in their court between them and God. Well, Yes. Ordinarily, I can give you an example, though, where I've seen that go all the way. Total reconciliation, total forgiveness of the parties involved. Seriously. But that's an absolute miracle. It's an absolute miracle. Yeah, and it took time. How about 10 years? There's one more question. And, okay, reflect carefully on the metaphorical implications of the sheep shepherd, fisherman, washing Jesus' feet or letting Jesus wash yours. Who does the work and who gets the benefit in each? This takes a little bit of thought. Now, again, what I did is, I know what a metaphor is, but I went and found a way to explain what a metaphor is, maybe so that it's a little bit simpler to understand. It's something that's figurative or symbolic, non-literal. Does that make it easier? No, that makes it more difficult. No. So, look at it again. Reflect carefully on the metaphorical implications of the sheep shepherd, fisherman, washing Jesus' feet, or letting Jesus wash yours. Who does the work and who gets the benefit in each? What? Say that again, please. Yes. Both do. Okay. In the case of the sheep shepherd, the sheep are protected by the shepherd, and the shepherd benefits from raising the sheep. Right? Okay. What about fishermen? This one. Yeah. The fishermen benefit from the fish. They do the work and they benefit from the fish. I'm not sure how the fish benefit from that whole thing. More resources for the fish that are left. Okay. But yeah, metaphorically we could be the fish, yes.
But metaphorically we're also the
fishermen. So we are really, really called to be both in that case. We're really both. Yeah. And sheep and shepherd, absolutely. Good, we're getting there. What about... Okay, reflect on it, Father Scott. Washing Jesus' feet or letting Jesus wash your feet? How would you reflect on that? You're saying that. He is. Yeah. Just like when we do the foot washing, we get a benefit of being humble and so forth by washing someone's feet, and they get the benefit of receiving that humility. And it works in both ways. I think Jesus would feel great if someone were to wash his feet. Because what did he do? He gave us the example to do this. So if we do it, he's saying he got it.
Well, but metaphorically, every time we wash somebody else's feet.
Very good. Excellent. There, that carries it kind of. Did you have something else? Okay.
I agree.
Go ahead. He appreciates everything we do for him. Good. Carla? Bingo. I think that's great. All of those aspects of that are perfect. They're great. All right, the next slide says that next Wednesday is Eve of Ascension service. It's be a Eucharistic service next Wednesday. So actually, there are two more chapters to this book, but Father Scott apparently is not planning on teaching the last two chapters of the book because we're having the Eve of Ascension service next Wednesday night, and then the following Wednesday night, we get to enjoy the teaching of the other Father Scott, Father Scott Melanson, who is going to be teaching on the Nicene Creed. That'll be a great teaching. All right, let's close in prayer. Well, Father, thank you for being present tonight. Thank you for everything that you have taught us. Thank you for what you've taught me in doing this. We ask you now to be with Lauren, continue to heal her, continue to heal Carla, continue to heal, there's somebody else I need to be praying. Lisa, thank you, Lisa.